This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Left wing, Hossa, sharp angle, set, he scores! Marin Hossa! That's number six in three games! He's got the hottest stick in the NHL!
It's feeling good, you know, when a puck's going in for you. Just try to put a puck at the net, and that's my goal right now, and, you know, good things happen.
Yeah, he's on a little bit of a roll. You know, he's putting, you know, getting to the net, putting pucks at the net. Fortunate there to want to tie it. But that's what happens when you get a little bit of confidence and things are going your way, and, you know, you just got to keep riding it.
Coach Hossa, David had a fine column on, well worth your time reading this week, about what a good guy he is, and he scored six goals in the last three games, two apiece. Hawks lose, though, 5-4 to the Sedin Twins.
Yeah, he's hacked too little too late against a bad Canucks team. They let him take a 4-2 lead. Pull the goalie, and they catch up, get in overtime. And then the Sedin Twins, who I think I heard Joel Quenneville say on the pregame show that they communicate like dolphins.
Yeah. What did that mean?
There's an innate sort of connection that they understand and can read each other and communicate without
– sound waves.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, sound waves.
That's the power of the twin.
Sort of self-explanatory, isn't it?
I guess. It's kind of you and me, right?
We're dolphins.
We communicate.
Okay, Shamu.
Let's go back to the phones and talk.
Shamu's a whale.
Okay, that's
hockey.
A whale. That's right. Shamu's a whale.
I knew. He was being a jerk.
What type of a famous dolphin?
Flipper.
Okay, Flipper.
You goof.
I don't know dolphins. Shamu's
Mike
a whale.
In Joliet.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Magic Mike. What's going on there, bud?
Hey, guys. How you guys all doing?
Good. How are you there, Cookie?
All right. Hey, the dolphins communicate through echolocation.
Oh, wow.
Right. Hold on a second.
Mike's a marine biologist.
Mike, what do you do for a living? Because you're not a marine biologist living in Joliet.
The sea was angry that day, my friend.
No, I'm a graphic artist.
So how do you know that about dolphins?
My best friend is a biology teacher at Mount Carmel, and I know a lot of useless information.
That's great.
There you go. So they echo communication?
Echolocation.
Speaking of useless information, Mike, what's your idea on Corey Crawford?
Get rid of him.
Thank you. That's useless information.
Understand.
Come on, you can't be serious.
No, I am. You know, if we got a bag of pucks for him, it would be great, you know. It's just, I don't know what it's going to take for Quenneville to pull him and put in Ronta, and then we have Darling, you know, down at Rockford. I mean, Crawford, come on, he's just so inconsistent. It's pathetic.
I guess there's no, David doesn't echo your sentiments.
I don't echo those sentiments at all, Mike.
I'm not with you on get a bag of pucks because I do think he has value, but right now he's playing lousy hockey. Lousy.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible.
So why not say, guess what, tomorrow night against the Devils, Ronta, you're in net. You're going to play, and you're going to play a few games, and we're going to let Corey sit a little bit and just rest.
There you go.
I got no issue with that.
We were 7-1.
Hold on a second, Mike. The Hawks won back-to-back road games last weekend. They come home. Ronta plays against the Coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks lose in the shootout. The Auntie Ronta admitted that shootouts are now in his head. And last night, Corey Crawford had an off night against the Canucks, and now you want to bench a guy who you've won a cup with.
I don't get that. He does.
So lost a cup with him, too. He was the reason we lost last year's cup.
Boy.
Why is that? Because it deflected in off Nick Leddy?
No. Because of what was it, 28 goals he gave up in the previous six games of that series?
Look, I was his harshest critic back in 2013, and he proved himself in the playoffs winning a cup. I think you can win another cup with him, Mike. I really do.
Did you see?
I think since his ankle injury, he hasn't been as good as he was before. He'll be fine. Just give him a little time just to rest, be ready, rejuvenated, and get to the playoffs. He's your guy.
Well, you guys know more than I do, so I'll acquiesce to your knowledge of the system.
All right. I echo those sentiments.
So, hey, one more thing. My nephew, 9-year-old, he's mm-hmm. going to be playing at the United Center on just before the Kings and Hawks game on March 30th.
Oh, how cool is that? Good luck to him.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. 312-235-2525. Corey Crawford, if you're going to win a cup, is your guy.
okay, but that was not exactly the way I thought you were going. I think Corey Crawford's going to be fine.
Why did you think I was going any other way? That's what I said on the air.
You've been not Corey Crawford's biggest fan. I know you came around.
Oh, that was 2013, dude.
The defense in front of Corey Crawford wasn't anything special last night either.
It wasn't good when I was there Monday.
It hasn't been that good lately. If the Hawks are going to make any sort of move before the deadline, I would think it would be wise to look at veteran defensemen.
By the way, just to give everyone a peek behind the curtain in my life, had a very long discussion. Well, it actually wasn't long. It was very direct with my wife last night. We're going to the game tomorrow. I said, dear, here's the deal. It's Friday night. You don't have to get up to go to work the next morning. We are going to the Hawks game. You tell me it's like 5-0 with 2 minutes to go and you want to run to the car, I'm okay with that. If that game's close, you better buckle up the chin strap because we're staying. Not happening. We're not leaving because somebody wants to go to bed.
Did that go over okay?
Uses the fake excuse that I have to help Alex with his homework.
Oh, so now
I had to help him, but she went
to bed. Another off the onion, the fake excuse.
Well, she didn't have to. She said, we have to help Alex. We came home, and she went, got changed and went to bed. Took her clothes off and said, good night, see ya. I go, well, I thought we were helping Alex with his homework. She said, no, you are.
Oh, okay.
And well, she went to bed.
That's exactly how all that went down.
That's how it went
that
down.
That might have been a bad decision there. What was the subject?
He had to do a sports cast for class.
Okay.
He goes to Columbia.
Oh, well, then that would make sense that he would be the guy to help.
Maybe.
Can I get one of the interns to write one of those?
On the day.
Yeah.
Depends. Depends on the day. Yeah, you should stay for the whole game.
Coop, can you write a sports cast for me, buddy? Yeah.
You should stay for the whole game. If tonight's Bulls-Cavs game goes into overtime, mm-hmm. I hope I don't see anybody like walking out. You just don't leave in those circumstances. You just don't. You stay. You got to see what happens. You know.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Closure.
You have to get up early to work here.
Yes.
Okay? What if you go to the
can
Bulls game? Yeah.
Is it that obvious today?
Pretty obvious. Can you get up, go to the game tonight.
Yeah.
And you decide before the game starts that instead of writing about the game.
You're right. You're locked into something else.
You're locked into something.
You got
an exclusive with PAX before the game. Your column's done.
That happened a couple times.
Are you sliding out early?
No.
No way.
No.
You're out of your mind.
No, not for tonight. I mean, okay, full disclosure, there have been times where you go out to a baseball game. It's the middle of July. And you're doing a column on Chris Sale. Mm-hmm. This happened last year. Chris Sale's not pitching that night. He's pitching the next day.
So you got to interview him.
Yeah, I talked to him before the game. Have some good access. Or one time I did it with Jose Abreu. So you write your column, you get back up into the press box, you're watching the game. But your column for tomorrow doesn't necessarily have to do with the outcome of today.
Correct.
So you get your column done. It's the sixth inning. You look at your watch. You know that.
Beautiful summer night. You're like, I can get home, have a little dinner on
well,
the grill,
not that
a little
early,
beer.
I'm talking 9 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, the game starts at 7.
Yeah,
usually,
I'm talking
right?
9 o'clock-ish. It's mm-hmm. sixth, seventh inning, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's. Your column's not hinging on the outcome of this game.
Right. Commander Knowles has his
not
stuff he needs.
Not a ton of suspense going on right now. Uh-huh. It's the middle of baseball season. Uh-huh. You might sneak out the back.
No
not
question
sneak
about
out. You
it.
Might leave, yeah. I don't like to leave early, though, because you never know. Here's the thing. What happens if eighth inning, Jose Abreu is rounding second. Oh, my gosh, look at that ankle. Ooh. Out for a month. Something big happens.
Well, I was
news
there.
News breaks.
I was there one
then
night.
What happens if you're not there and you leave?
I was there one night, thought about, you know what, I'm going to try and get out of here early tonight. And Sammy corked the bat.
Oh, yeah.
It was early in the game, fortunately. But I was there, and I had to cover all of it. Mm-hmm. It turned into a very late night. Can you imagine if that corked bat pops in like the seventh inning and you'd split? What?
Yes. That's bad. That's why you stay. That's why you stay, young journalists out there, because you never know when news is going to break and something unforeseen is going to happen, and you should be there. But there are exceptions to that rule, I suppose, and sometimes you take advantage of that.
Take a chance.
Yeah, it wasn't like I left and there's nobody else there. I mean, Colleen Kane is there, and you know, it's in capable hands if something happens. It's just that, yeah, there was
somebody
a couple
times. Somebody can get
times.
The quotes for you.
Yeah.
You can poach a few quotes. can Marriott it here and there.
No, I actually will go to the clubhouse.
All right, we'll take a timeout, talk to Patrick Thule. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
I definitely love Chicago, but I definitely understand it's a business on both ends. You know, like for me, I want to win. Organization wants to win. Miss McCaskey wants to win. So definitely aligned there. But there's a business side on both ends, and I get that. So your other part of the question, did I talk to him? Yes, I met with Ryan Pace. I met with Coach Fox. I was up there actually yesterday talking to Coach Gase. All of my communication with them has been nothing but positive. But, you know, I can't listen to all of that. And like I said, you know, I love Chicago. And, you know, I think that we have some special pieces here to be a successful team.
Do you think he'll be back?
I don't know.
That was Brandon Marshall and Patrick Finley. When Patrick asked him if he'll be back, he said, I don't know. Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. We like to call him Mr. Happy Socks around Comcast Sportsnet. That's what PJ Fleck wears.
Oh, that was you.
I only have a couple pair of Happy Socks. I get mine at other places like A&G at the Merchandise Mart. But Happy Socks are really cool. And Pat Finley is all over
shameless
them.
Plugs.
I don't know how to get free ones. Okay. Finley might.
All right.
Patrick, good morning. Patrick. How are you there, Sparky?
Hey, I'm good. If we're plugging, I really like Dance Socks, too. Those are the ones with the basketball players on them. I've got a pair of Bill Walton ones.
We're not.
Really cool.
We're not plugging, Patrick.
Hey, yesterday you were there when Brandon Marshall spoke to the media. Do you believe Brandon will be back?
That's a tough one. Probably yes, but maybe 55-45, something like that. You know, at the end of the day, the new brass is going to have to figure out if he's more trouble than he's worth. And, you know, one thing that was clear yesterday was that he's not going to back down from his public appearances. He still wants to keep doing the Showtime show. And, you know, he understands that they're going to say no to that. But, you know, he's not going to become some demure player all of a sudden just because he has new bosses. And those guys are going to have to figure out whether that distraction in the locker room is worth his production. And, you know, with Brandon, I think the most important thing to bring up is, I mean, this isn't a Jay Cutler issue. Brandon, when he's healthy, is really, really, really good. Jay has never been at that level. And, you know, to the flip side of the argument is, you know, can the Bears afford to just let talent walk out the door for no compensation? Because they don't like maybe his personality or some of the things he says when he's off the field.
You know, Patrick, I read the quotes from Brandon Marshall. I wasn't there yesterday. One of the quotes said, it will be the same way with my new coach. We'll sit down. I'll tell them not just about Showtime, but everything I do from my foundation to what I do off the field on a major level. Okay, so if I'm John Fox and he's had to sit down with Brandon Marshall, and I'm sure this stuff – maybe it came up, maybe it will come up. I got to tell you, if I'm a football coach taking a job for the first time, I don't really care about that stuff. I don't want to even factor in his off-day television show in New York or how important he considers his foundation. Those are things that don't really matter to me as I try to establish a culture and rebuild a roster and win a game. So how do you think the audience of Ryan Pace and John Fox will be receptive to all that Brandon Marshall brings to the table when he's a Bear?
Well, you notice there that in that quote, he said, you know, kind of whoever my next coach is, you know, he even left a little wiggle room there, you know, if it's somebody else. I think that the Bears have a little bit of leverage here. You know, I think that if John Fox walks in the room with Brandon and says, Brandon, I don't want you doing TV anymore. If you want to talk about your foundation and what you're doing, that's great, but I would just assume you keep it to football. If you can do all of that, we'd love to have it. If you don't want to, maybe you know, you can go play somewhere else. You know, that could happen, I think. You know, what's interesting is when you look at Ryan Pace and the Saints and you look at John Fox and the Broncos, can you guys think of any one outspoken player from those two teams? Can you think of anybody who's done anything close to what Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler and Martellus Bennett and those guys up here have said in the last couple of years? Really, no. I mean, they're not used to having those sorts of guys on their team, and the reason for that is they don't want those sorts of guys on their team. I know that when with the Saints, you know, when their last head coach came in, one of the first things he did was identify the veterans who were more trouble than he was, and Sean Payton got rid of them.
But by the same token, Patrick, you asked a question. You know, John Fox did coach Steve Smith, and Steve Smith wasn't necessarily on television all the time, but he was a very strong personality. At times was accused of being a guy that could have an agenda from time to time, very similar in the wide receiver prima donna mode.
Sure. And, I mean, that was one of the strengths of Fox when he got hired here, was that he'd been through this before, you know, with Steve. Granted, that was two teams ago. I think that in a perfect world, no coach or GM would want a player that's outspoken on their team. But, you know, with Brandon, it's kind of the price of admission. If you want his skill, provided that he's healthy, you're going to have to put up with some of the off-the-field stuff, too.
Reading online, there was a real interesting article on ESPN.com where they talked about Mark Domenech, former GM of the Bucks. They had Herm Edwards. They had Louis Riddick. They had a bunch of NFL types, and they play the management team of the Bears. And in that, they said, I think it was maybe it was Domenech who said, or Louis Riddick, that John Fox is in win-now mode, a veteran coach, and until he gets a look at what his roster really is and he finds out how far away they are, you can't pick the Bears any better than third or fourth for the foreseeable future in the division. Do you agree with that?
To a point, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the Lions, and they were just so much better under their new regime, and you got to think that in the back of the Bears' heads, that's what they're hoping happens, is that, this new coach, new GM take, a pretty good, assemblage of talent and turns them into something. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to stop somebody. And, Brandon yesterday, I asked him, if he was ready for a rebuild. And he said, no, we're not rebuilding. And he started listing five or six or seven offensive players that they have. And I turned to him, I said, Brandon, none of those guys can play defense. And he said, yeah, but, we don't have to be the monsters in the midway. We just have to be okay on defense, and we should be fine. At the end of the day, the Bears need an influx of defensive talent. I don't think that's going to happen in one season. I'm not sure that can happen in two seasons either. That said, does that mean you want to try and go 4-12? Or, can the Bears hover around 500 with the group they've got and, hope to get lucky and maybe back into the playoffs? I think they're closer to being really bad than they are to being a playoff team at this point. But, as they said, why bring in a veteran coach and on taking it in the shorts for the next couple of weeks?
How did Brandon Marshall explain, if he did at all, the circumstances under which he met with Ryan Pace and John Fox in January? Was it his interest being served here and trying to initiate a meeting? Does that speak to the level of his concern or uncertainty? Or, I don't know, I don't hear of a lot of NFL guys sitting down with their new coach and new general manager, texting their chairman. It seems to me that it just raises your eyebrow a little bit.
A little bit. What he had said about that meeting was it was the day that they hired Adam Gates. So that was January 21st. And that they were speaking with him. And at one point they told Brandon, hey, Brandon, turn around. And he turned around and he saw Gates in the back of the room kind of watching their meeting. And, obviously they go back to Denver. What I thought was interesting was, he said that his issue when he was in Denver was never with Gates. It was with Josh McDaniels, and it was with the ownership that had promised to trade him and then didn't. And that Gates was actually one of the guys that he got along with. So, he tried to paint this picture of, the fact that everybody can get along here. You guys know Brandon. He's outgoing. He's one of those guys that would actually pick up the phone and call, his new coach, his new GM, and get together with him. I remember when we talked about the fact that they hadn't spoken with Jay Cutler yet. That was weird too. So I don't know. The impression you get from Brandon is that he really doesn't know whether he's coming back. I talked to a couple of people who are close to him, and this isn't a show. This is Brandon waiting to get an answer from his boss, and I think he's just curious as the rest of us are.
When you look at the running game, do you think they will address getting a power physical between the tackles runner to augment Matt Forte, or no, not a priority?
I don't know. It probably depends on whether Fox wants to kind of do a Baltimore Ravens-style running game where you run outside the tackles a lot and you try to use Matt Forte's shiftiness, or whether they want to do it between the two. You know, I know that, you know, they don't know what they have in Kadeem Carey in terms of running the ball. That's, you know, one of the weird things from this season. Even after it was lost, Matt Forte kept getting the ball. And even in that last game where Matt Forte had no business playing, you know, they kept dumping the ball down to him to get this record that nobody's going to remember 5 years from now. You know, they don't know what they have in Carey. I imagine they're going to bring in another veteran running back to see if they can beat him out. Whether that's a between the tackles guy or somebody more in the mold of Matt Forte, I think we'll have to wait to see.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate your time.
Hey, anytime, guys.
Talk to you soon. There he is, Pat Finley, Chicago Sun-Times, and he's on the Bears beat and was out there yesterday when Brandon Marshall spoke at Tilden.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the bigger uncertainties in the next few weeks. It'll be a question that should be answered.
But we'll know within a month.
March 12th is the beginning of the league year. Jay Cutler's future and Brandon Marshall's future. You know, I'd be curious to see if they address it next week at the NFL Combine. Both guys speak on Wednesday in Indianapolis. That's going to be the first question for both guys, I would imagine.
You would think. All right, we'll grab a quick timeout. Fabio in Long Grove, DeJuan in South Bend, and we've got homework. Five biggest upsets in sports history. I even did a little extra credit the way I roll. Come right back. I didn't do it when I was a student. I may as well do it now. Be right back.
I can't do my homework anymore.
Time for today's homework on Cap and Hog.
Okay, how about the word dugout?
Any more brain busters?
Rizzuto.
That's not fair. Rizzuto is not a word. He's a baseball player. You're cheating.
Hey, folks, it's on me. Shakespeare for everyone, okay?
Oh, back to school. Back to school.
Homework is to listen to some real music. Get inspired. It will blow the classical music out your butt.
Now, this assignment is completely optional and is for no credit.
Oh, well, I'll get started on it right away. Oh, look, I'm done.
Can't do my homework. All right, we like to do homework. Our assignment today, I gave it five biggest sports upsets in our...
Yeah, and I know why you gave it yesterday now. I realize what your brain works. You heard Boomer talking about it. No, because
I did not.
Okay, because it was the
25th anniversary of
Buster Douglas.
Correct.
So that's the upsets. That's on my list. That's number five.
By the way, if things don't work out for you at the Tribune, your buddy just opened up a new job for you.
Who's that?
Jason Whitlock is launching The Undefeated. It will be his personal ESPN website. He will have people writing for him.
I knew that he was up to something like that. I didn't know what they were calling it, but yeah.
The Undefeated launches summer 2015. Yeah,
I think he's got some very talented people interested in joining him.
Yeah,
you're not going to rip Jason Whitlock in front of me, are you?
No, I love Jason Whitlock.
All right,
I just didn't know if you've got Jason here. Hey, Knowles, you better pony up, man. No, Whitlock's after me.
I love my job. I like Jason too, but no, I'm good. But that I'm happy for him. He is, as we've discussed before, a very controversial guy, but he's authentic as they come, and he's always been that guy, so I respect that.
All right, here is the homework.
Okay,
five biggest upsets.
Yeah, Buster Douglas beats Mike Tyson. That is number five on my list because I knew that it would be on your list. But that, to me, is still one of the moments in sports you can remember where you were when you heard about it.
That is number one on my list.
Really?
If you look, and I went back through and looked up the odds on what they were, if you took, like, bookmakers today, what they would have set the odds at back then, there's a great article about it. They said that's by far the single biggest upset in our lifetime in sports history.
Single biggest upset.
If you'd have put $100 on Buster Douglas, you'd win $4,000. That's how big an upset it was. Number one.
Well, when I get to my number one, I'll maybe dispute that because I think the odds are funny that way. But okay, so that's my number five.
All right, I want you to hear something.
Okay.
Take a listen to this.
Let's go ahead and call it the biggest upset in the history of heavyweight championship fights. Say it now, gentlemen. James Buster Douglas, undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
How about that? I had lunch with him 2 years ago at Gene and George Eddie's.
Buster?
Buster Douglas.
I remember when he came to Tribune Live.
That day. We reenacted
the
knockout.
That was 2 years ago.
Maybe it was, okay, what is it, 3 years
ago?
Yeah,
it was a couple years ago.
He Bobby Hitz, my buddy, the boxing man.
Yeah, he took pictures in the green room, like punching everybody.
Right. Right. And then we went out, we removed all the chairs and the table off the set, and I went and got boxing gloves, and Coop had us stage this, and I was Mike Tyson and Buster with the uppercut.
I remember that.
It was unbelievable.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool. All right, so that we both have that on our list.
Yep, that's number five for me.
Okay, number four.
Number four for me is not going to be one that's on your list, I think. It's a very, you grew up in Indiana. This is ingrained into your psyche. The Milan,
South Bend Central?
The Milan Miracle, Muncie Central, 1954 state champion.
South Bend Central was Hoosiers.
Well,
the movie.
That was the team, yeah, but Hoosiers was based on 1954 Milan.
Okay.
And you have a movie based on the state championship. It romanticized class or single class basketball in the state of Indiana. Bobby Plump, Marv Wood, the coach. They beat Muncie Central 32-30. To me, that was number four on my list of all-time sports upsets.
You're very, very psychic because that is not on my list. Never thought of Milan.
Not surprised.
And Muncie Central.
It's okay.
I have NC State knocking off Phi Slamma Jamma in the 1983 NCAA title game.
That's number three for me. That's number four for you?
Yep.
That was a great one.
Great one.
That was better than
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That was better than the next year, in my mind. That was better than
2 years later.
2 years later when Villanova beat Georgetown.
I have that on my list as
really?
Well.
Really? Two of those?
Yeah.
You have that one higher than 83?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
No way. Why?
Villanova was such an underwhelming team during the year. Lost, I don't know, 11, 12 games. They beat who? Georgetown and Patrick Ewing, and I was at the game.
Phi Slamma Jamma, no slouch either.
Agreed. Agreed.
Phi Beta Kappa.
Okay.
Did you get that one?
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Nobody laughed.
Sorry.
It wasn't that good. Sorry, Brooks.
I was reading something
thanks
really
for paying
sad.
Attention
I'm
there.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
So,
here's
that was my number three.
Mm-hmm.
The 1983 NC State. All right. Number two for me. Broadway Joe guaranteeing a Super Bowl victory for the New York Jets.
Pretty good. I have that as one of my also.
That rights. Legitimized a lot of things in
the AFL.
The AFL, the attention on the Super Bowl, all those things. It guarantees in sports is now an everyday occurrence. Broadway Joe, that Super Bowl, that upset, defining.
The Soviet Union over Team USA in the 72 Olympics in basketball.
That's not on my list.
That's one of the great upsets of all time.
I know. Yeah, it is. It's something that you could justify being on a list. It's not something that came first to my mind.
Yeah, just like Muncie Central didn't pop into mind.
That's right. Well, the what was the score of that game? Do you remember?
Like 52-50, okay, something
yeah.
like that.
I think that
after they cheated.
Yeah, it was, well.
I think Daryl Butler was the Russian coach.
Did they expand the boundaries to include like
redid the map.
Siberia?
Not Daryl Bevel, Daryl Butler.
All right, so that's number two. Number one, mine is Miracle on Ice. To me, that defines the idea of upset in sports and doing things nobody thinks
and our
possible.
Caller from Boston who said it was not as big an upset. We had a bunch of NHL stars. There weren't NHL stars on that team. Jim Craig flamed out. Kenny Bone Morrow, he played for a while.
I don't know what he was getting that from.
Arizioni decided not to play.
That was not an NHL star-laden team.
No, there were some NHL players, but not stars.
No.
That was the greatest team, Red Army team, of all time. It went 42 straight.
Yeah, do you remember? And you remember where you were when you heard about that?
Yep. I did have Jets over Colts as an also-ran. Giants over Patriots when the Pats were going for the undefeated season. They were 14-point underdogs.
Yeah. Modern day NFL, it's hard
to
label things upsets of that
caliber. Three biggest upsets in Chicago history in my lifetime. St. Joe's over DePaul.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
At Dayton Arena, right. UD Arena. 1986, Washington over the Bears in the playoffs at Soldier Field.
Mm.
Bears were 14-2, dude.
Okay.
They were picked to win it again.
What were the odds on that one? How much money did you lose on that day?
I was a young punk back then.
How much money did you lose on that day?
None. I was there, though. I was at the game, and it was a sickening feeling. And Marlins over the Cubs, those last two games, the Cubs were prohibitive favorites and lost at home with Pryor and
Wood.
Yeah,
that almost has its own category, right? Instead of just upsets, that's more like you're more than upset. You're like scarred, traumatized. Those should be like in a different trauma category.
Correct.
How about the 1974 Notre Dame basketball team breaking UCLA's 88-game win streak?
That's a good one.
In South Bend, who hit the game-winning shot? Do you remember that one, Mr. Basketball?
Was it Austin Carr?
No, it wasn't.
Was it John Shumate?
No, it wasn't.
Was it Kelly Trepuka?
Nope. Oh, that was pre-Trepuka. Come on.
What year was this? 1974. Notre Dame. Wasn't Austin Carr. Was it...
I love that music.
Wasn't Bill Lane Beer. Was it Tim Andre. Bruce Flowers.
Bruce Flowers! No, it wasn't Bruce Flowers.
Who was it?
Who was Dwight Clay?
Dwight Clay.
Feet of Clay.
Very good.
There you go.
Yep. What was the score of that game?
I don't know the score of that game. I wasn't at that game. I've written about that game.
87, 86, something like that.
Any five-minute conversation with Digger Phelps will include a reference to that game. Love Digger, though. But, you know.
Digger's fun to talk to.
That was his that was his moment. John Wooden, you know, it was all over. That was the end of the streak, and nobody saw that one coming. Really.
89-82 was the final.
89-82?
And they threw the ball in the air at the end.
Okay.
I threw it up to the heavens.
I thought it was closer than that. Threw it up to the heavens and touchdown Jesus smiled.
That would be three-point Jesus, according to Ryan Hoover.
There were no 3 points. There are no three-pointers in 1974.
No, but when Ryan Hoover played there, they asked him about touchdown playing in the shadow of touchdown Jesus. Yeah. He goes, that's three-point Jesus.
Well, Ryan Hoover was a great three-point shooter, but they didn't do a lot of celebrating during his era.
No, they were not very good.
That's right when I started there. Notre Dame basketball.
Was that John McLeod?
Yeah. Great guy.
I did the games. How funny is that?
You did?
Yeah.
Notre Dame basketball?
Yes, I was the voice of the team with Jack Lurie.
How many games did you do with Jack Lurie?
The whole season.
You know Jack Lurie,
traveled with
long-time
the team, the
voice
whole
of Notre Dame basketball. At one of the Notre Dame basketball banquets after I had been a columnist for a few years, made a reference to the kind of year that they had, and he referred to the negative or to the media coverage of the event and the David Haw, the nabob of negativity. I always remember that.
The nabob of negativity.
Jack Lurie called me the nabob of negativity.
That was my partner.
Good guy.
Yeah, I like Jack.
I got along with him fine. That's why I was like, whoa, wow.
Jack was good to me.
Thought we were friends.
Apparently not.
Oh, the good old days.
Jack was all about Notre Dame. Jimmy Butler officially ruled out for tonight's game.
Well, that's smart. Now, what's next? Do you officially rule him out of the All-Star skills activities?
Yeah, I think if you're not going to play tonight, you can't play in the All-Star game.
You've got a week off, Brooke. You've got a week off.
You rest that shoulder.
I agree with you.
Playoffs are more important than your All-Star skills challenge score.
Can he still go? Can he still, like, participate in the atmosphere?
Hang around? Yeah, why not? He didn't have to stay here.
Hold up, like, be a judge at the dunk contest or whatever they do.
Don't raise the shoulder. Like, right here.
Nine.
Arms in tight. 9.5.
9.5. Why are you talking like that?
Alligator arms. I don't know.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll get to Fabio in Long Grove, DeJuan in South Bend, and you. 312-235-2525. This is the Cap and Haw Show on CSN WGN Plus.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
All right, little page two action. Got a few calls. 312-235-2520. Let's go to the phones.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Got to start with Dennis and Skokie.
Yep.
Hi, Dennis. What's up there, Sparkles?
How you doing, Cap, David?
What's up, Dennis?
What's up, Dennis?
You guys are missing one. The term originated in 1919. The horse upset beat Man of War undefeated.
That is exactly correct. An upset went off at 100-1.
Absolutely.
It's a good one.
How could I have forgotten
that one? Love your show, guys.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis. See you, Cookie. He's right. Went off at 100-1, and Man of War was the machine.
Ollie Liston.
That's a good one, although some think that Liston threw it.
Prove it.
Correct.
Really? I mean, they're getting a lot of text. Several texters brought up that, and that's an oversight on our part. Which is bigger, Ollie Liston or Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson?
Buster Douglas. Because Buster Douglas was a comet, a meteor who burned out quickly and was done.
It's poetic.
Ali became one of the greats of all time, the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Man, you're just dropping lines here. You got to write some of this stuff down, save for later. What time Sports Talk Live tonight?
It's just in my head. It's just.
You got to write them down. Bring them back.
Filled with nonsensical
things. 5:30, right?
5:30 today.
What's the guest panel look like today?
I don't know who we have on today.
You should know that stuff.
Coop, weigh in, buddy. Anyway.
Sun-Timeser. There's got to be a Sun-Times presence.
There'll be somebody in there. Somebody. Maybe Talender today.
Be good. Yeah. To hear from him.
Absolutely.
Like to hear his perspective on this whole
had a Rick Morrissey
Jackie
yesterday.
Robinson thing. I saw Rick was in there. That was good.
So let's go back to the phones. And where are we going here? Fabio. Fabio, you got great hair, man. What's
Fabio.
Going on?
What's up, Fabio?
Hi, guys. First of all, you guys have a great show.
Thank you.
I watch you guys every day. Yeah, I want to talk about, you know, the Bulls. If I'm the Bulls and I have to choose between Ray Allen and Afualo, I will take Afualo. He's younger. He can play more minutes. And plus, I think we can need a player like him for the playoffs.
Can't agree with you, Fabio, but I do understand why you would say that. I just think that if you're looking at an acquisition for the long term, certainly Afualo is a guy that you would maybe lean toward because of his age and versatility. But Ray Allen, if you have a chance to add him, very specific need, very, you know, good.
He's 39.
I know, but he's still going to play. Thanks, Fabio. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, buddy.
Maybe it's just a come on.
You're unbelievable, man.
Did I really do that?
I was waiting for him to mess that up. I just kept looking at him like.
I just watched him.
Trying to.
He's like,
it's okay.
I got enough things to learn. I got enough things. I got enough things to learn here. Got this iPhone is not working right. Anyway.
All right, let's go to DeJuan.
Thanks for picking me up there too, pal.
Got it. Yeah. South Bend, Indiana. What's going on, DeJuan?
Hi, buddies. How you guys doing today?
We're doing very well.
That's wonderful. I'm brand new to your show, man, and I love it. I love all the points of view, all the perspectives and whatnot. My question to you guys, and I was, you know, just wanting to know your thoughts on making Taj Gibson a permanent fix in the starting lineup and bringing Noah or Gasol off the bench, and do you think that will solve the Bulls' defensive problems they are going through right now?
Well, I will tell you this. It wouldn't be over Pau Gasol. You need his scoring presence. But if Joakim continues to have some knee issues and Taj is healthy, I don't see any reason why you couldn't use Joakim as your sixth man. I think that is a very legitimate possibility, DeJuan.
I wouldn't do it, DeJuan.
Lucid, well thought out.
It is. It's a fair, it's a good question. I wouldn't do it. I would continue to start Noah and Gasol. I think at this stage of his career, Taj Gibson is more proven to give you that kind of energy off the bench and give you that offense with the second unit. If you start him and you do bring Noah off the bench with that second unit, who's going to score for you when you bring them in? It's all about rotations and matchups and those kind of things. And at this point, Taj Gibson gives you an offensive option when you bring in your second team. And that's a nice chemistry with that second team.
Okay. And at the same time, is that saying that you don't trust your bench enough to, you know, put, Taj Gibson in as a starter? I think that our bench is very, very well. And, you know, I'm speaking of an all defensive lineup that, you know, the Bulls are known for. They're known for defense, and why can't they use this brand new offense that they have as a secret weapon to the Eastern Conference, to the league?
Good question, but how do you get better defensively by taking the defensive player of the year out of your starting lineup?
That's a great question. DeJuan, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, DeJuan.
You're welcome.
See you, buddy. Thanks for watching the show, and welcome to the Cap and Hawk Experience. 312-235-2525.
T-shirts later.
That's it. Let's see.
Cap and Haw Experience, WGNplus.com.
I never did end up following through on those T-shirts.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I thought we were doing That's Whack Bro T-shirts.
Yeah, and then some things happened back in November, and I just never followed through.
Really? What happened?
Probably smart not to place that order just yet back in November. I think we're safe now, though.
We're good now.
Yeah.
Game over.
Game on. Let's see. Bob in Lake in the Hills. Hey, Roberto.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, buddy?
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bobby.
You with us or not?
Nope.
Bob going once.
Wait for Bob to pick
twice.
Up. Hey, how about the New York Post reporting, Cap, that the Jets may be interested in Josh McCown?
They can have him.
I know. Imagine him in New York.
Ugh.
Wow.
On a bad team.
It's not going to be good.
Look what he did with McGowan last year.
I don't think that he should go anywhere where he's going to be further exposed.
Yeah.
He wants to get on a team where he will be.
Like if you said Houston signed him.
Accentuating his strengths.
Have a chance. Arian Foster, pretty good team.
No. You want a team with an established starter. So the only reason he gets to play is if somebody gets hurt.
No doubt. But
and
if
the expectations are low.
But if a team that needed a quarterback wanted to sign him, it's got to be a team that's pretty close to winning.
Baltimore's ideal. Baltimore is ideal because he doesn't have to do anything except for finish a game if something happens to Joe Flacco, get you through a couple weeks of adversity in the event of injury. But the more he plays, the more you're going to ask yourself, what is he doing here? He's a great backup because he improves the environment and your winning culture and the positivity of your locker room. Great teammate. Right now, he's just a below-average quarterback.
All right. Larry in Schaumburg, Illinois. What's going on, Larry, cable guy?
Hey, Larry.
What's up, guys?
What's up,
Cap? Hey, Brooke.
Hey, Larry.
I just wanted to make a comment. First of all, I just want to let you guys know, actually, you guys are part of my opening my store process. I'm an assistant manager at Chicago Locker Room in Woodfield. So, first of all, I agree with you, Cap. I am definitely an Aaron Aflalu guy over Ray at this point in time. I just think he's a more upgraded Kirk Heinrich. He plays great defense. I think he'll be another Tibbs guy, another guy that Tibbs will love. You can get Jimmy off the best guy. You can put Aaron Aflalu on that guy for a little bit more. He's bigger than Kirk. He can shoot the three. He's just another great team guy you can have on that team.
Completely agree.
By the way,
where are you opening up this new store?
It's not a new store, actually. It's in Woodfield. It's Chicago Locker Room.
Sounds busy.
It sounds Chicago like the mall
what do they sell at the Chicago Locker Room?
Oh, man, a whole bunch of Chicago apparel, baby.
Got to come in and see you for some stuff for the show there, buddy.
Hey, Mike Pendleton. Are you actually, that's my guy. I was actually talking to Brooke yesterday on Twitter and texting her actually a little bit. Got her on the show.
Yeah, Mikey P, he's the best. All right, we'll have to get some stuff for the studio, buddy.
All right.
I'm a small.
See you later.
Brooke.
There he is, Larry and Schaumburg.
Brooke fans.
Yeah, they're all
Brooke
out there.
Bringing them in.
Go to Instagram, everyone.
Exactly.
Whoa. Smoking. By the way, what is your Instagram?
It's me, Brookie.
It's me, Brookie.
Thinking about changing that. You know, I had an initial handle of just my name, and then somehow I deleted the account, so you can't get the name back. I don't know.
All these problems.
Sometimes I lose on social media.
ItsMeBrookey.
Yes, it's me, Brookie. Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks for the
Brookie.
Plug, Cap. Appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. There you go. Mikey on the south side of the city. Hey, Mikey, what's going
on
there?
Good morning. What's up?
How you doing there, Sugar Bear?
I'm fine. I wanted to chime in on the Aaron Aflalu predicament. I think it's a bad idea because the Nuggets want Taj Gibson.
Yeah.
I had a question. Would you rather give up Gibson to get Aflalu or Chandler, or would you rather keep Gibson and stay in the running for Ray Allen after the All-Star break and keep everybody that we have?
Yeah, would you rather?
Okay, what if you don't get Ray Allen?
It's the biggest PG version of Would You Rather I've ever played.
What if you don't get Ray Allen?
Somebody good from the D-League. Point is, I think Gibson is worth more than Aflalu, like his whole role.
They're not trading Taj Gibson.
Yeah, I don't think
they're not trading
Taj
Gibson. No,
I wouldn't either,
Mikey. Good call. Good question. Good context.
Thanks
for calling.
Mikey.
I'm
not touching the phones.
God bless you, pal. Thank you. Yeah. Good. We've made progress here today. So I asked a former NHL coach who happens to be a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
to grade Corey Crawford's performance last night in a 5-4 loss? What grade did he give him?
I watched the telecast last night, broadcast last night. Didn't hear Eddie O grade him.
I'm not talking about
Eddie O. Okay, all right. So I'm not sure. Probably gave him a C.
B plus.
Last night?
Yeah.
Defense in front of him wasn't good. So why do you want to bench a guy who's giving you a B plus?
I didn't say bench. That was the caller, you goof.
You agreed.
No, I did not. Absolutely did not. I simply said to you, give him a couple of days, collect his thoughts.
He doesn't need to collect his thoughts. He had the night off on Monday.
And then get him ready for the playoff.
Get back in there Friday the 13th and make it a lucky night for the Hawks.
We're out of here.
All right, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Wait. Bye, Brookie.
Goodbye.